στην Κρήτη, όταν ακούμε...
In Crete, when we hear the word Matala, the first thing that comes to mind is hippies. A beautiful fishing village in the south that once was, during the 60s and 70s, the ultimate refuge for the flower children. These were people who left their daily lives behind to live a little differently. But what traces did that era leave behind? What was life like back then? And what does a visitor find in Matala today? On the other end of the line is Mr. Nikos Papadofragakis, a local resident, who will guide us through what Matala was like during those decades. First of all, thank you for accepting our invitation to talk about the past and present of Matala.
Good day to you, and thank you for giving us the chance to share a few things about our village.
Let's start from the beginning. What stories have you heard from other locals, from relatives or friends, about what Matala was like before the hippies came, say, in the 1950s? A very quiet fishing village, like so many others in Crete back then.
Yes, exactly as you said. Matala was a very small place, with residents who mostly lived there during the summer. Most of the people from the wider area were engaged in fishing. A bit in farming too, although the land wasn't particularly fertile. So, fishing was their main occupation. As I mentioned before, it was a very small place with very few residents. And in winter, hardly anyone, if anyone, lived there.
And let's not forget that in the 50s, Crete had not yet begun receiving waves of tourists like it does today. So, when the hippies started arriving in the area, what did the locals see, and how did they react?
Yes, as you can imagine, it wasn't easy because people had no information about it. So, it wasn't easy for the local population to accept people coming from elsewhere with a different culture. Still, because the area is calm and the people peaceful, they gradually accepted them, and the hippies started integrating into the local community. It all started slowly, but over time the whole movement grew. And those who first arrived even helped the locals with farm work.
So they became part of the community to some extent.
Absolutely. And as the wave of visitors kept growing, naturally, there were also people who remained a bit more distant.
Of course. And we are also talking about a time when women were confined to the home, so even a bikini back then might have caused a stir among the locals.
Of course, let's not forget this was also a period of political turmoil in Greece.
Right. So when would you say was the peak of the flower children's presence in Matala?
The peak was in the early 70s, although it had started in the early to mid-60s. But in the early 70s the number of arrivals really took off, because the hippies wanted to keep their distance from everything that was happening in the world at that time.
Right, we had wars, and as you mentioned the political situation in Greece, let's explain for those listening from abroad, that Greece was under a dictatorship during that period. From 1967 to 1974. A difficult time for our country, around the world. We know that hippies opposed wars. They had that famous slogan, make love, not war. Can you describe for us, if you know, what nationalities mainly came to Crete, to Matala? And what was the maximum number of people staying there? Where did they stay? How did they live?
There were people from all over the world. But most came from Germany and the UK. And also from America, mainly the United States. People who wanted to rebel and distance themselves from the war in Vietnam. Their lifestyle there, as you can imagine, was as simple as it could be. The first ones to arrive managed to settle in the caves, which were empty at the time. The caves, for those who might not know, were originally a Roman cemetery in antiquity. They were, of course, empty, nothing inside, and people started living there, each group setting up a kind of little home inside one of the caves. Their life, as I mentioned, was extremely simple. Evenings were spent around a fire, with music, conversation, and companionship. They were people who cared about the problems of the world. They just wanted to express their reaction in a different way.
You mentioned earlier that some of them even helped with the locals' farm work. Did we also see locals from the area, or from other parts of Crete more generally, integrating into the hippie community? Did they also become flower children for a while?
Of course, there were also people from our area who embraced that culture and lived alongside them. And there were people who helped them, offering food at times, and supporting them with their stay.
Right. And when did all this start to fade out, towards the late 70s?
In the early to mid 70s, we started to see some resistance from the church, which, especially at that time, found it difficult to accept people who lived and behaved in this way. Alongside the political situation we mentioned earlier, pressure began to mount for these people to leave the area. There were efforts to get them to move on, basically.
Right. And generally, what was happening in Matala mirrored what was happening worldwide. This movement had already started fading out by the 80s. And over time, the next generations of Matala residents got to know about this era through stories, or maybe one or two people remained in the area, just a handful, as permanent residents?
There were a few people, though not permanent residents during the 80s. Gradually, once things calmed down, some of them started coming back, returning, let's say, some hippies who then lived permanently in the area, some alone, others with families.
And as the years went by, it all became a romantic memory. But then came the noughties, if I'm not mistaken, around 2010, when a festival was launched to remind the world of what once happened here and to bring a bit of that old glory back to Matala.
Yes. As I said earlier, some people returned, so to speak. One of them was Mr. Arnstrohl Meyer, a German, who published an album filled with photos of various hippies from that era, and testimonials he managed to collect from people who had lived there. He came to our area to present it, and that's how the Matala Beach Festival began in the form we know today. Back then, it was first called a reunion, a coming together of those people.
And since then, except for the COVID years, every summer in July there's a 3-day festival that brings Matala back to life. A free festival, held right on the beach, where people of all ages come together and dance through the night to the music on stage.
Yes, as we said, the festival started in 2011. Except for the break due to COVID, it's been held every year without fail. At first it was in June, but due to weather and to make sure visitors enjoy themselves comfortably, we moved it to early July, or sometimes late June, it's not fixed. At the same time, there's another event that runs as part of the festival, street painting, where children and people of all ages paint the streets of Matala, bringing color and connecting us with the hippies, who were people who loved color and painting. As you mentioned, the festival is free for everyone. We've tried to keep it that way, even though it's a bit difficult. Because as you can imagine, organizing an event of this scale comes with a lot of expenses. Still, we continue it exactly this way because what we want to offer people is the chance to come, enjoy themselves, enjoy the music, our place, and just have a good time.
Great. But we should also say that Matala is not only about the hippies. That's a very important part of the area's more recent history. But when someone visits Matala today, what do they see? It used to be a fishing village where most people were fishers or farmers. In the 1950s, what does someone find when they come in 2025?
Our village has obviously modernized and evolved with the times. But it has kept its character. We don't have huge hotel complexes like other places, which often take away from the charm of the area. The character remains. There are traditional guest houses and shops where visitors can find what they need, enjoy their holidays, but at the same time be in a place that hasn't been overrun by tourism. It still feels a bit remote.
It hasn't lost that special feel.
What all of us, and especially the younger generation, are trying to do is to preserve a sense of identity here, something that recalls the hippie era, but also the spirit of the place before that time.
Absolutely. And there are antiquities one can visit too. Beyond the caves you mentioned, it's a place where you can combine your stay with lots of day trips.
Exactly. Our area is full of archaeological sites. Matala used to be an ancient port. Right next to us is Komos, a really long beach stretching from just beyond Matala all the way to Kokinos Pergos. There are ancient ruins in Komos as well. Festos is only about 10 kilometers away. And there's also the Archaeological Museum of Gortina, around 20 kilometers from Matala. So a visitor can enjoy not just the natural beauty of our place and the beaches, but also explore the history of the region.
Wonderful. I really want to thank you for this journey through time in Matala, and let's hope the village keeps the character it's developed, thanks to its historical roots, but also because of the legacy left behind by the flower children.
I thank you too, both you and your listeners. Everyone is welcome. We'd be happy to host them and make sure they have a lovely time.
Take care. Thank you.